Edgar Allan Poe, y'all.
Poe, y'all.
Listen to me flow, y'all.
Flow, y'all.
Yo, it's Edgar Allan Poe with the flow so poetic. Melancholy wordsmith style so phonetic. Got a raven on my shoulder. Got the thematics.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Christian Bry. Good find, Jane.
MC Lars.
MC Lars. Nice. Edgar Allan Poe, y'all. Our guest this half hour is Maggie Ginsburg, who is the senior editor at Madison Magazine and also just had her first novel debut in September called Still True. And I found WPR. You were interviewed by WPR, and the thread from the book that they picked up on was exploring alcoholism in Wisconsin, especially in Wisconsin small towns. And I think it's something that I am interested in as someone who potentially drinks sometimes too much, and it is hard to escape because of our culture. I also know, as someone who fancies herself a comedian, it is very low-hanging fruit when it comes to making jokes about our state that usually performs well because people identify with it. And so I feel like in this state, we have a very complicated relationship with alcohol. And I think getting away from the academics of it sometimes as far as the reports and the studies and weaving it into a narrative that paints a fuller picture in characters is a really interesting way to tell the story and tell the story of something that I think a lot of people deal with. And so I'm so excited for you to be here. I'm so excited to hear more about the book. So welcome to the show, Maggie.
Oh, thank you, Kristen. That's I feel it's so funny. First of all, thank you for inviting me. I was so excited when I got this invitation. I almost feel like I should stick up for alcohol. Like, it's funny that that's my first instinct. And I think that's because, you know, I loved alcohol. Mm-hmm. I thought alcohol was wonderful. I loved alcohol like a best friend, you know, and it was like a breakup for me when I got out of that toxic relationship back in early 2010. So,
wow. 12 years.
Yeah. So it's been a long time that I've sort of been on this side of things when it comes to thinking about alcohol. But for a long time, I was on the other side of things, which is just not, it's like you, just not probably kind of knowing in the back of my mind that maybe something wasn't quite right. But, you know, it can be funny and it can be fun and it can be, you know, it can be wonderful until it isn't. There's an expression, and I forget who said it, if I ever knew, but it was something to the effect of, alcohol gave me wings to fly, and then it took away the sky. Mm. And that's kind of how I felt about it. And so, you know, I'm a little, I appreciate that WPR pulled that piece of it out and that is something people are talking about. But I'm also a little bit hesitant to in any way represent everyone's experience. You know,
totally.
I just have my experience, and there are so, I'm just very respectful of the, that it's a personal and private relationship, and that there are many, many paths to getting help if that is what you need. And I found, thank goodness, a good path for me. But it's different for everyone. And this is going to sound made up, but I actually did not think about alcohol as I was writing this book. I didn't set out to write a book about alcohol. And in fact, it's one of there are three main point of view characters in the story. And two of them are a couple who are married to each other for just about 30 years and don't live together, an older couple. And then the other one is Claire Taylor, who is a younger, she's in her mid-30s, and she's a sort of unhappily married mom who's drinking too much and trying to navigate her way through that. But in the first many, many drafts, well after my agent had it out on submission to editors, Claire wasn't a drinker. she had 99 other problems, but a drink wasn't one. So, you know, she was just sort of stumbling through, you know, just unhappy, new in a small town, missing her job, and insecure in her parenting, dissatisfied in her marriage, just sort of like, you know, maybe making questionable decisions, but you know, drinking wasn't really what it was. And it wasn't until this book was going through the submission process with the University of Wisconsin Press, which is who published it. Part of their process is they do external peer reviews. when they're deciding whether to publish a manuscript. And one of the peer reports came back making note of the important theme of alcohol. And that was the first time that I really went, oh, you know, maybe there is a lot of alcohol in this book.
So it was in the book, but it wasn't identified, like in the first iterations of it. It wasn't identified. The drinking was there, but it wasn't.
Well, by then it
purposeful.
Was. So, yes. Yeah, so what happened is there were minor characters that definitely represented different relationships with alcohol in very much in the Wisconsin way, in the way of all the people I know and love in my life. You know, there were just some that had more problems than others, but not Claire. And then I don't know, it might have been 6 months into it or a year into it. My agent called and she said, you know, all of these characters are really fully formed. They feel really real to me, but there's something missing with Claire. And I went back through and, you know, just really tried to think about what was missing about her. And I had a couple of early readers read it with that same question in mind. And when it dawned on me, it was so obvious that she had this problematic relationship with alcohol. And then I was able to go back through and add in the drinking scenes and the alcohol in layers in a way that really didn't change her story at all. Some scenes stayed pretty much the same, but it really just it kind of added more depth to explain, you know, her relationship with alcohol, which she didn't necessarily see as a problem either, because of the way it was presenting in her life, until something happens in the book that makes it very apparent that it's a very big problem, and then she has to face it.
So we're talking to Maggie Ginsberg, who's a senior editor at Madison Magazine and also the author of her new book, a novel called Still True. And it's interesting. So if you yourself had stopped drinking in 2010, and you wrote this book over the last couple years, I'd imagine.
Five and a half
years.
Long years.
I can't even imagine what it's like to write a book. I can barely. Jeez. And so do you think it was something that you were avoiding in that character development because it was something that you weren't attached to anymore? Or what was it as far as you didn't see it at first, but then it became so clear after the revisions and the feedback? And so, did it make you confront your own recovery or however you identify your choice to not drink anymore?
Yeah. I mean, I think it probably was, I was subconsciously shying away from it because it is still, you know, sort of I'm open about the fact that I am in recovery, because if other people hadn't been open with me, then I may not have ever found myself, you know, been able to relate and then gotten the help that I needed, because I didn't relate to a lot of what I saw. And it wasn't until there were other people who were like me, who looked like me and had the experience of me and talked like me and you know, that I was able to, you know, really kind of see it for myself. Because it really is yourself. It is such a personal relationship that you can go on forever and ever and ever. There's no reason. There's nobody making you stop drinking most of the time, with obvious exceptions. You know, like the police or something, if that's the situation you're in. But for the most part, for most of us, it's just more nuanced than that. And I would say that it definitely felt... So it's fiction, it's a novel, but it felt a little too close to home. It felt a little too personal and private and not necessarily, you know, something that I wanted to, I did relate to the ways in which Claire drinks, in ways I didn't necessarily relate to the other characters. Hmm. And so that did feel like I was putting something very personal out there. Not everything. Definitely not everything. There are things that Claire does that I, you know, that's not me, but that are a natural progression of her character, you know, and that could have been me. I'm not judging her. But it was just probably something I didn't want to spend that much time that close to, looking at that closely, knowing that other people would look at it and then take what they wanted from it, that wasn't necessarily what felt real to me. Because that's the thing about a book, is you put this book out into the world and then it no longer belongs to you. It belongs to everyone else, and what particular bits, you know, hit them in particular ways. And so, so it's already just been kind of interesting and a little scary for me to watch this piece of it go out there on its own, like a kid I'm sending off to school, like, please be nice to my kid. You know, but I get it. I'm grateful that it does have people talking about it, or maybe thinking about things that they want to think about. It's not for everybody. Not everybody has to think about what their relationship with alcohol is, but some people do want that extra nudge to kind of think about, is that, you know, could I have a different life?
And so, because this is only one part of the story that obviously is gotten brought up, what was the driving force? Because you're a journalist by trade, and that's been your career. And so what was the motivation or the inspiration of this story that you wanted to write and to tell, that you spent 5.5 years working on it?
I think, you know, I've always been a reader, a big, big reader of novels. I love to read fiction. I love to read novels. I just happened to not write it because I didn't think that I could. And once that I understood that I could try that as well, then it just opened up this whole new opportunity to kind of take risks that I couldn't take in real life, and to explore questions that I couldn't, you know, go out and answer for myself in real life. And the questions that I think about, you know, whatever's most interesting to me, the things I think about all the time, I think a lot about marriage, I think a lot about divorce, I think a lot about relationships and partnerships. I think a lot about independence, whether you can actually really have true independence if you are partnered up with someone, what sorts of compromises you make, what ways do you hold other people responsible for things you don't do, chances you don't take, ways you're unhappy, whether that's drinking too much or not. You know, a lot of times if you are partnered up with someone and then that partner goes away, you do have to kind of take some accountability, you know, take some responsibility and face some of the things that you were maybe kind of blaming on them about your life not being great. And that's interesting to me. And so it really centered around these two characters who have been married just about 30 years, Lib and Jack, but they have never lived together. Lib is really fiercely independent. She lives in her own house, 2 miles from her husband's house. And they really like their arrangement, but I wondered what might, you know, come between them. And that's where the book starts.
All right. We're going to take one break. Maggie Ginsburg, senior editor at Madison Magazine and author of Still True, will be with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
To life with these little baby rap tunes.
Flow like Poe.
I'm going hard on that tetrameter.
Flow like Poe.
I'm going hard on that tetrameter.
Flow like Poe.
I'm going hard on that tetrameter.
This is Lit Hop 101 with MC Edgar Allan Poe.
Flow like Poe.
I'm going hard on that tetrameter.
Flow like Poe.
I'm going hard on that tetrameter.
Flow like Poe.
I'm going hard.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Maggie Ginsburg, who's senior editor at Madison Magazine and author of the new novel, Still True. And I, you know, writing is writing in a lot of ways, but it's also not. And I write jokes, and I write, sometimes will write a blog. I am not a journalist. I'm certainly not a novelist, but I have to imagine that it was a very different hat to turn, like, to go from writing, I would imagine, at most 1,000, 5,000 words for a long article for a magazine versus an entire novel. And so what was that transition like for you?
It's actually been really fun. I would say there are things that are very similar. You know, what makes a good story is universal in a joke, you know, and in a novel and in a magazine article and in a poem and in a movie. So, you know, there definitely is a structure that, and just, you know, an arc that makes a story a story, makes a story compelling. And I use both in long-form journalism in particular, but definitely in this novel. I would actually say that I believe that there's an even higher, so there's a higher bar for truth in journalism, obviously. We have a really rigorous fact-checking process, and, you know, you are working with the facts, period, and you can put some pretty writing around them, but you are confined to the facts. But actually, fiction writing, it almost feels like you have to be even more truthful somehow, because people won't buy it otherwise. Truth is stranger than fiction. And so there are things that happen in my everyday life that you would not believe if I wrote them in a novel. People would say, oh, sure. You know, it's just too, and in all our lives, I think. So I really focused on advice I got from another writer, which is to make sure that everything felt accurate, which is different than factual. And so to me, those emotional truths are really universal, and it doesn't matter. If you're really writing tightly and closely to what you know, for me, that was this sense of place in Wisconsin. But it was also just, you know, what I think about, what I struggle with, the things about relationships and alcohol and parenthood and motherhood that I know when I was writing closely about those things, I just had to tell them true, you know, make it feel accurate. And that is probably the biggest challenge, partially because people won't buy it, but also because the bigger deal it is, the harder it is to tell the truth. So fiction, I mean, a lot of us hide in fiction. A lot of fiction is, you know, semi-autobiographical, particularly first novels. That's a stereotype. And sure, I had a friend read this, a close friend, who said, boy, I feel like I just read something really private, and I feel like you are all of these characters. And I was like, but again, I'll repeat, all fiction.
Yeah.
They're all made up people, all made up events, I promise. But very personal.
Yeah.
Maggie, I'm so impressed that you stuck with it for 5 years to get it written. Like 2.5 years in, didn't you just think, I'm just going to do a compilation of short stories and just forget it?
Well, you're right. And I'm overstating that a little. I wrote the first draft very quickly over about a 3.5-month, 4-month period, and actually got an agent right away. And it seemed like, wow, everything is great. This is so easy. Why didn't I do this sooner? And then things slowed way down. And so as that agent was going out and as we were getting lovely rejections, I was revising. And then, so there were multiple revisions, and then it also sat for a long time. And then I would take it back out again and work on it. And then it was actually in the pandemic that I pulled it back out again to work on. And then the publishing contract came in January 2021. So if you do the math on that, that was when the editing was just starting. Yeah. We kind of finalized everything in April of this year. So it comes in fits and starts, but it was a long time to keep the faith, at least before there was a publishing contract in particular.
I always think about that when you hear some of the stories of series that took a very long time to get made, or a movie that the screenwriter had this and they shopped it around for years and years, and then got to like either denials or this not the right time, and then it's like wins a bunch of awards, right? And so it's the belief in the story that you're trying to tell, and the layers that you add into it over time, and then just commitment to the vision you have for it. And
so I'm grateful for it now. Yeah, I think it's a better book than it was.
Absolutely. Well, you have some events coming up, so I want to make sure that we get the information out for people to attend some of those events.
Yes, I have a lot of events coming up this month and next. I have everything on my website, MaggieGinsburg.com. But in particular, I will be at the Waukesha Public Library in December. So I'm
just down the street from us.
Yes. I'm really, really excited about that.
What date is it on December? Really cool. Maybe Jane and I will make a field trip.
Gosh. You should. That's on my website. I would have to double check. My brain has turned to mush. Time has become completely irrelevant these last couple of weeks. It's all been a whirlwind, but it's amazing.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. I'm really grateful.
Well, we'll definitely check it out. And so we will put your website, MaggieGinsburg.com, on our blog for the day, but you are at Maggie.Ginsburg on social media. Is that all of them, or is it a variety?
Some of them don't have the dot and some don't have the space, but I think I might be the only Maggie Ginsburg, so it's pretty easy to find.
There you go.
Which is sometimes not great, but yes. Otherwise, Wisconsin Book Festival this month too.
So. Absolutely. So check out her book, Still True, which tells the story of complicated marital relationships, independence, alcoholism, all taking place in a small town in Wisconsin. Check out Madison Magazine. Shout out to my hometown. Maggie Ginsburg, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. You've been great. And I just got done watching you riding the mechanical bull, so I might watch that again. I don't know. That kind of made my day. So,
well, I still have the rug burn or the floor burn that I sacrificed my body for to make that video. But, you know, the lengths I'll go to prove a point.
That's right. We appreciate your service for
absolutely.
Sure.
All right. Well, Maggie Ginsburg, thank you so much for spending time with us. Check out Still True, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.